Good evening. If the Lord granted, what I hope you were asking Him and Him this evening. If you would, turn with me to the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. Only one verse in this chapter. But I speak to you on that which is all but gone. That's the same condemnation of the old world, and even of the world in which Christ came, that which world in which Paul labored. And that is that there was no fear of God before their eyes. I hope He will help in speaking to you and help you in hearing. For whether it's a reality or not, this evening in your heart and mind, you will stand before God Almighty. Would you pray with me? Our Father, Lord, it would be to us useless to meet without receiving from Thee. And as best as we possibly can prepare, we cannot fully prepare our hearts to receive Thy Word. But I pray that You might help this evening. I pray You might instruct, that You might be gracious in dealing with all. For if there is Thy fear in our hearts, it is not to the extent it ought to be. We've lost so much. Would You help us get it back? Pray You'll help these dear souls as You help the speaker, for Christ's name's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 23, verse 17. And I want to speak to you with this command from God to you, and that is that you are to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's not a suggestion. If you feel like it, here's what I would like for you to do this day. It is a divine command. But that command, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, has in front of it, I think, best I can remember from English, some of you junior high folk can help me out, but a conjunction, right? Okay. Which means that it is joined to the first, because if the first is in operation, then the second, being in the fear of the Lord all the day long, will not be. So before God ever told you, this is how I would have you live, every day, all throughout the day, and that is you walking, living, reacting in my fear. But the verse begins with this, let not thine heart envy sinners. Now I want you to turn back with me to chapter 4 and verse number 25. Proverbs 4 and verse 25. If I am not to envy, I'm not to envy sinners, I'm not to look at how well they're getting by in life, I'm not to focus on sinners. So to help me, Proverbs 4:25, let thine eyes look right on, straight ahead. That's what it means. Path in front of you. Don't get distracted. If you get to looking at folks, you're going to lose the fear of God in your soul. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And one that you're very familiar with, the 73rd Psalm. Godly old saint. I don't know how long he's been walking with the Lord, but he finds himself in a precarious situation. His feet were almost gone. Where was he? In the congregation. In the house of God. But the thing that happened to him is his eyes became focused on that which he never should have been looking at. Verse number 3, Psalm 73. For I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he goes on in length to tell you, I watched them die. They didn't have any problems dying. I watched them living. Their eyes stood out with fatness. And I looked over and I saw the dear children of God. They were poor. They were afflicted. Oft-times scattered. They looked like a herd of sheep being herded off to slaughter. And I got to comparing the very children of God with the wicked, with the ungodly, with the unrighteous. And I became envious how can one ever become envious of sinners? You know their end. You know where they're headed. Just keep looking at them and looking at their prosperity, and your eyes will get off focus of the Lord. Now back to our text. Here's a negative. Don't be envious. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Here's the positive. Live in the fear of God all the day long. Now the word fear here means exceeding dreadful, an awesome, terrifying object. Is God that to you? A dreadful God, an awesome, terrifying object. Well, I know God to be different from that. You do. Then you've already, if you ever had it, you've already lost the fear of God. Only way that the fear of God will be maintained in your soul is with the awareness that God can be exceedingly dreadful and an awesome, terrifying object. Now, granted, the word fear in many places also has to do with respect and with reverence and piety, pious living. So it'd be all right for us to put the second definition of it here, that you are to live in the respect of God, in the reverence of God all the day long, and you are to live before God holy, righteously, and your life marked with a pious living. A vital necessity. An absolute prerequisite for you to get here, living in the fear of the Lord all the day long, is that light be manifest within your heart. You cannot fear a non-existing object or an object that is not. You can only fear that which you know to be real. None of you sit here tonight afraid of the Martians coming, invading our land, taking over, because you do not believe there are such creatures as Martians or life from other planets. You might fear what Russia could do to us. North Korea, Red China, some of those Eastern countries that are developing nuclear weapons, you might fear them. You might fear a rattlesnake that's on the path you're on that you see 2 feet in front of you. You might fear getting cancer one day. These things are real, but you do not fear that which does not exist. And the God of today is little more than Paul Bunyan. You know, he's just a tale that the lumberjacks made up. They might have seen a good-sized man, and it turned into a fable. God's little more than that. And you will have no fear of God until the light from God shines in your soul, manifesting something of the being of God. 1 John 1:5, this is a message that we have heard and declare unto you. What do you hear, John? God is light. You haven't seen it? No. Only a little beam here or there. And this God that is light, there is in Him no darkness at all. How you know that? God revealed it. 1 Timothy 6:16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. You believe that God's that far above us? That glorious being with light to such a degree that you cannot approach? I mean, you'd go blind just looking at the sun for a lengthy period if it's out and it's in its strength. But God is in a light that no man can approach, no man hath seen, nor any man can see, Paul said. Psalm 18, he made darkness his secret place. He is light, but around God is darkness. And His pavilion round about Him is dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. The only way you'll ever see God is God give you eyes and then God reveal Himself to you. And the only way that you'll ever begin, just begin, to walk in the fear of the Lord is to see God. You said we couldn't see. Just to see enough of God that will produce something in us that's been missing all our lifetime. A godly reverence, a fear See, folks, you can't see. I can't see unless God gives us eyes and then reveals Himself. And as I quoted to you from Revelation 9 Sunday, the smoke that comes out of the bottomless pit, it darkens out the light of the sun and the air. There's nothing around us that is giving off light. It's blocked out the light of God. And since that pit has been opened, locusts have covered the earth, and they presented a God in which there is no reason for us to fear. He is so loving and kind that He will send none to hell that show the slightest interest in Him and the slightest devotion to Him. Just do the best you can. Half-hearted devotion. God's going to let you in. He's just that kind of God. That's the light that's been blotted out by the locust presenting this kind of God. And also, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of those which believe not. You can't see God. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. But there also is a darkness within every believer. In all of us, there is a darkness fixed between God and us. And that can only and is only removed by degrees, because the brightness of God would destroy us. Saul had a light shine unto him brighter than the noonday sun, which blinded him. But even in that, it was but one ray shining from the Godhead. The three disciples went with Christ upon the Mount of Transfiguration, overcome by God unveiling just a degree of that in Christ that flesh had covered. And between God and you, between God and me, there is a mental perception that has been formed in our minds by religion and by us personally. All you hear of God are the attributes that are so soothing and so comforting to you. Now, God loves you. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God's a very merciful God, a pitying Father, and always exhibiting kindness. But nobody will know these attributes of God within their heart, which is the only place they will do you any good, until God first makes you aware of your sinfulness. The gospel was never presented by the apostles to anybody except a convicted sinner. When the jailer, and we've pulled a verse out of the context and we've used that to evangelize America so that you can't find sinners nowadays. We pulled a verse out of that where Paul told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He never presented that. He never gave that away except to one trembling before Him. What must I do? That's not been in a long time. And we feel hell full since the turn of the last century with that verse in the Romans Road. Now, folk, I cherish the attributes that I named to you. The love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the pity of God. I cherish them. But only because they meet my need as a sinner. That's the only reason. Because I find in them that which is suited to my condition. And these attributes declared apart from His holiness and justice brings a cloud in your mind. You still got it. All of you've got it. That keeps you from the fear of God. If ever there would be the least bit of dread of facing God, then your mind brings that cloud between you and that fear. And say, well, God, He's such a sweet, kind, lovable being. You'll never know that till you become aware in your soul that you are a sinner. Job 36. Job chapter 36. And verse number 32. Job 36, 32, with clouds. I do not know if the book is still available. But I ran across it a long time ago, written by an old Catholic monk. He said, well, you ought not to be reading such. I wish you could get it. And you're going to get quiet to read it. You'd have a different opinion about some of them. The cloud of the unknowing. And he wrote about this cloud that keeps us from knowing God. Written in the 12th 13th, 14th century, I don't know. But it was and is a tremendous book. With clouds He covereth the light and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. And between you and God, there's a cloud. Partly fixed by religion because they've told you about a God that does not exist. And partly fixed there in your own mind because you'd rather have the God that you serve. You'd rather face Him, the God that's in your mind, than the God that's in Scripture. So we'll pull a cloud of darkness, and God will help us. If that's where you content to live without living in the fear of God this day, all the day. But if you are sincere in wanting to know God and applying yourself over the years to know Him, God will begin to remove the scales from your eyes, and He will begin to remove the cloud degree by degree until more of the light of God shines from your mind into your soul. And as the scales fall off, as the cloud is dispersed, not overnight, but over years of you seeking after and searching for, you'll see more of Christ as the light that He is, but you'll begin to understand that He's dwelling in a light which no man can approach. And the greater you see God and know of God, the greater will be the fear of God in your soul in which you live. And you know what? If you're not careful what you do, you keep your mind occupied. You don't want quietness. You don't want how to contemplate these things. And so you generate noise around you. 1 Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation, you, the children of God, your royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why God choose you, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then I'll give you the second and the last, with only one more passage of Scripture I have you turn with me to. The second necessity in living in the fear of God all day long is you living with a God consciousness throughout the day. And whatever moves between you and God, I don't care what it is, if a human being, an object, whatever it is that will captivate your heart and mind, it takes you away from God consciousness. And you lose it. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Don't let your heart get so attracted to anything that you lose a God consciousness. David said, I have set the Lord always before me. Always. And because He is at my right hand, that's an action David took. I set the Lord before me. And because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Psalm 147, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. You smile, if not outwardly, inwardly, when your children are obedient. And when you have taught and dealt with to the point that they know if I don't do what dad or mom said, punishment awaits. They live in the fear of disobeying you. I would hope that they would. God takes pleasure in those that fear him. That is, just out of deep respect and heartfelt love and reverence, you walk before him all the day long in the fear of God. One last, Proverbs 29. If you live in the fear of God all the day, there must be a God consciousness about you all the day. If anything comes between you and God, you lose God consciousness, you lose the fear of God, you lose God himself. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Man comes between you and God. What he thinks, what he says, or how he acts towards you blocks out the light of a God consciousness. For how oft do we run the risk of offending God because we don't want to offend man? And how oft do what people think of us motivate us in our actions? Maybe more than you'd like to admit. The fear of man, what they think about me. Greater far is, what does God think about me? Now, you probably work with a lot of different people. You ought to be kind. You ought to be polite. You ought to be courteous. You ought to live peaceably with all men as much as life within you. But never exhibit these things at the expense of offending God. Because if man motivates your actions because you're afraid of what they're going to think about you, or what they're going to say about you, or how they're going to act towards you, then it blocks out the light of God consciousness and you lose the fear of God. Now I ask you the question that James, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, asked. Don't all of you know that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Don't you know that? He said, don't you know that whosoever will be a friend of the world? Folks, this world's perishing. Everything in it's going to be burned up. I got a friend of years and years ago that is in a pitiful, awful condition now. He used to call once a month, now once every 6 months. Studied the scriptures. He could discuss anything in scripture with you that you could bring up. And he admitted Sunday night, I don't know if I'm a Christian. And he was one that was a perfectionist. Every tool in his garage had a specific bolt or screw on which it hung. Everything was in its right place. And he was saying, I am so busy, I don't have time to even get into scriptures. Looking after his wife who's down. And he said, my basement's a mess. And when he moved to where he is now living, he wanted to get his study built and the shelves built and everything fixed right. And he kept thinking, when I get all this done, then I'm going to have time to study. He told me, I don't have time. I said, take time. But you don't know, you don't understand what all I got to do. And my heart's grieving for him. I know, but I know this, you better take time. And you better not let the world influence your actions or lack thereof. You've got time to seek the Lord every day. You got 24 hours in it. You've got to make a little time. You've got to. For living in the fear of God all the day long requires you living in a God consciousness. Now I'm not going to ask you to turn. Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Folk, it doesn't matter what degrees you get. It doesn't matter what grades you make. It doesn't matter what IQ you have. You can be the most intelligent. Who is this quadruplegic? Yeah, easy for you to say. That's the atheist. brilliant. Hawkins. Thank you. Brilliant. But there's no fear of God. All his knowledge is going to perish. It's going to be lost. The fear of the Lord. I think it was Mr. Tozer preaching to a crowd. He said, some of you may never attain great things. You may never ascend to a ladder of great knowledge. But that's not what God's looking for. He said, every one of you here can descend to that place of a child. And you become focused. God's not looking for giant intellectual people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Folk, you'll never know the Bible as well as the devil knows it. But you know where his destiny is. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs, is the beginning of knowledge. Well, that's got to be the knowledge that God calls knowledge, because there's a lot of folk got a lot of knowledge and a lot of things, but there is no fear of God before their eyes. Live in the fear of the Lord all the day long.